And it's Easter, and it is a struggle for me, who is a person who lives by the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law.
No, I understand.
But it is Easter, so Christ is risen. Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
I am the Reverend Dr. Sam Parks. I am a doctor, just not the kind that really is all that helpful. And I am the pastor at Mary Esther United Methodist Church, which named for two queens, Mary and Esther, right? Isn't that great?
That's great.
So, yes, Mary Esther United Methodist Church, which is in the Fort Walton Beach area of the Panhandle of Florida, the gorgeous Emerald Coast, the Redneck Riviera. So that's where I get to be in ministry. A reading from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, chapter 3, beginning at the 5th verse. The Apostle Paul writes to the church, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, that's a light little...
Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter to you. So what Paul seems to be talking about here are practices, ways of life, right? You used to live this way with its practices, right?
Right.
And so I don't think Paul is saying, you know, well, if you feel anger, then you're clearly, you know, not living up to the faith. But I think what Paul is trying to point at is what are the consequences of the emotions and the attitudes, what behaviors grow out of those, and that wind up destroying Christian community or any kind of community, right? Here Paul is in this burgeoning church situation, and there are a lot of things pulling at the fabric of what it means to be a community. So there are clearly people who, having yet received the grace of God, having yet maybe been baptized and becoming Christians, still find themselves participating in practices that are destructive of relationships with God and neighbor. This is why Methodism is just the best damn way to be Christian. And that is that we believe in salvation by grace through faith that is unconditioned. God offers this grace to every single person. We are free to choose that everyone. Everyone is elected, right? Everyone gets a vote by God. However, grace is kind of conditional, isn't it? Like, not so that we earn our salvation, but, you know, it's this thing, having experienced grace, it does require some things of us. There are obligations, conditions.
It's like Bonhoeffer and cheap grace versus costly grace, right? This is not a cheap grace that says, like, everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. You don't have to worry about what you do. It says you have been given this grace, and it comes with a responsibility mm-hmm. to live as a person of grace. It comes with a responsibility. Part of the message of grace is you have been given grace. You have been given freedom, but it's not freedom for the sake of freedom. It's freedom for the sake of the world. As we enter into this season of Easter, mm-hmm. we are reminded that, you know, all was kind of lost, right? We have messed it up. We have rejected the great gift that has been given us. And Easter is the second, third, fourth, fifth, thousandth chance that we get to live as a people of grace, right? And so I think when Paul is saying, you know, you used to do these things. You can't do them anymore, right? You have to be different.
Mm-hmm.
If grace isn't making you different, then you haven't really received the grace. If life in Jesus isn't making you different, mm-hmm. then you're not living in Jesus, because people of God have got to care about their neighbor. People of God have got to do the things that align them with God's love. They've got to be intentional, mm-hmm. right? If we're not intentional, then we are as we were.
So I'm a participant in the recovery movement and 12 steps. And I have been for years. I did a little bit of the, you know, the AA waltz for a while. Steps 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And, you know, step one is basically I'm a mess and I can't manage it. Right. Step two is basically I believe there is a higher power that can manage. And then step three is to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. So in other words, that to surrender to surrender to a God who loves me, is capable of loving me more than I am able to love myself. And I remember somebody who was stuck I remember being in a group meeting one night, and somebody was just kind of stuck at step three. And they were like, how do I know when I've made that decision? How do I know when I've made a decision? Because it's all up here in my head, contained, you know, between my ears. How do I know when I've made it? And the wiser person across the room said, have you started your inventory? Right. Which is step four. Have you started your inventory? And they said, no. They said, then we don't know if you've made a decision. You know when you've made a decision when you start the dang next step, yeah. Right? When you start writing the inventory, baby, that's when we know you made a decision, right? And it does. It requires, and that's one of the reasons why I think Paul is talking about activity, behavior, things that we can see and measure, is that there's all of this going on, you know, within us. But it, you know, Christian community is more deeply shaped, not by how I'm thinking or praying or imagining or whatever, but by what I'm doing.
Right.
To other people.
Yep.
I like to think that I'm not a racist person. Now, I grew up in a very, like, I'm a recovering racist is how I refer to myself, right? Because I think it's impossible for me with my own particular history not to be.
Well, and as white people, we are definitionally racist because we are a part of the dominant culture and our relationship to people who are not in the dominant culture is always a power dynamic, which creates racism. And I hear you. What you're saying is, you're in recovery.
That's it. And I always will be. I will never not. Right. I always will be. But I don't have to. Like, there's not like a cancer growing inside my body called racism, right?
Right.
What makes me racist is that I perform acts and I'm part of a system that by which I benefit on account of my skin color, and that other persons suffer needlessly on account of their skin color, or other racially defining feature. In other words, as Ibram Kendi, tells us in, How to Be an Anti-Racist, I don't have to wear, a white hood over my head for my actions not to result either by omission or commission in a person of another race experiencing hurt or harm.
Right.
Because as a result of my actions, that makes it racist, right? I don't have to overly personalize that to be like, oh my heavens, I mean I can just accept that and try to pay more attention to the outcomes of my behavior, because I really don't want to hurt people,
right?
I don't, and I want people to have both as much access and opportunity as I do. I cannot give that to them, and there's not a whole lot I can do to change that on a macro level, but I bear some responsibility,
right,
as a resurrected person, to be someone who's willing to allow the rain, the divine rain of God, to spill in to all of our little kingdoms.
And I think that's a good word for us, right? It is a hard word for us that, like, hey, actually, you have to do the things, right? That's why I get very, partly because I'm a one and I very much care about the letter of the law, but partly because I think it misses the point when people reduce the three simple rules to do good, do no harm, and stay in love with God. It's not stay in love with God. It's attend to the ordinances, because you don't just stay in love with God. Just like I don't just stay in love with my wife.
No.
I do the things it takes to stay in love. It is work.
Yes.
And that is what it is to follow Jesus. And that is what it is to be a resurrected people.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Christy wants you to attend upon the ordinances of marriage, right?
Absolutely. And I want to, right? Like, that is how I want to show up in this world.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like a claim that we're making is that resurrection, the reality of resurrection, it has when we appropriate grace, there is a way of life, right? A set of practices, a way of being in the world that is resurrected.
And I think that is maybe the word for today, right? Which is, go do that.
Yeah, go do it. If somebody else says hallelujah because I believed in hallelujah, then only then can my hallelujah really be authentic.
Before we go, will you pray for us?
I'd be delighted. God of the garden and the empty tomb, we have each leaned our heads down to peer inside. Some of us didn't see a darn thing. Others of us saw figures that maybe angelic figures, but they're not the ones we were looking for. So meet us here in the garden of this time, so that when we hear you call our name, we can run into your arms with joy, and we can walk with you into whatever Galilee we have to go into tomorrow with an authentic hallelujah on our lips and love in our hands and our feet to help hallelujah be an easier statement for somebody else to make because we showed up there together. In your beautiful, risen, precious, glorious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Always a pleasure and can't wait to do it again.